Well, hi, and welcome to the Voter Podcast, because when you vote, great things can happen. I'm Mara Davis. I am a media maven, hustler, dog lover, and I've needed a little break from politics, but I'm ready to get back into it today.
Well, I'm Jen Jordan, former state senator, and I really needed a break from politics, and I'm not sure if I'm ready to get back into it, but may as well jump off the diving board at some point, right?
Yeah, I am State Representative Terry Anilowitz, and all I do is politics. That's all I do. That is my life. I do, my job is politics. My job is House. That is what I do, because we just finished day 38 of the legislative session. When this drops, we'll be about to go into day 39. The last day is day 40. It's called Sine Die. That is not Latin for I hope they all, but sometimes I feel like it is.
So just to give you a little update on what everybody's been up to. So Jen has been lawyering. She really has.
Yes.
I'm
like a lawyer, like a real one.
I went to, because there was one day, Terry, you've been very busy, so I've been trying not to bother you. But one day I was melting down. I went to Jen's office. I was like, if I bring you lunch, will you talk me off the ledge? And she did. And it was great. Do you need that after session, Terry?
Oh, thank God. Jen called me yesterday morning. And it was like a gift from the baby Jesus himself. Because, you know, I really needed a pep talk. And Jen is someone who can really give me a pep talk. Even my beloved husband the other day, he was like, surely one good thing has happened during session. Tell me one good thing. I was like, we had Busy Bee fried chicken for lunch. That was a good thing.
Was it good?
Oh, God, it's so delicious. Yeah, it's delicious.
Okay, so let's go over some of the things you may be stressing out about. Well, first, let's talk about a good thing. You brought to the table an IVF bill. Everybody listening, I'm sure, is very aware of all the things that happened in Alabama with IVF. And you're trying to make a splash in Georgia. Talk about that.
We are. So there's a couple of pieces of legislation. And the first one that we did was a Right to Contraception Act. And I co-sponsored that with Marvin Lim. And Marvin is also the co-sponsor for the IVF Protection Act that we dropped last week. And what we're trying to do is, you know, we saw what happened in Alabama. What happened in Alabama, we all know, is their Supreme Court made a ruling that basically said that if anything happens to an embryo, that's the same thing as something happening to a baby. So obviously, all of the IVF doctors in Alabama were like, we can't do this anymore. We can't take the risk. Say someone drops a petri dish, something happens, we can't be facing murder charges. So the Alabama General Assembly, they've said they fixed it. They said, oh, no, we passed a bill. And so now you can have IVF in Alabama. What their bill really is a tort bill. It's a tort reform bill. It's saying that if the physician does drop the petri dish, they still think it's a baby in the petri dish, but they just won't be held legally liable for dropping the petri dish with the baby. Is that and it's sort of an accurate way of saying what they did, Jen? You're the law degree person.
Yeah, they didn't fix anything.
No, they didn't fix it.
I mean, so, yeah. You know, when you have one of the members of the Alabama Supreme Court talking about preborn people, or what was that phrase that he used, or pre-womb or something like.
It was something so dumb that I decided, I think, not to remember what it was, because it was
like
so
something not preborn, because they've used that for a long time. But it mm-hmm. literally was about these embryos that are like basically pre-womb, you know, and it's kind of like, well, who the hell knew those people existed? Because really, then women really aren't necessary, right? You don't need a womb. You don't need a uterus for children. Then all right, what's up with that? So it's like, apparently there's this whole group of folks out there that are living and that have rights that women don't have. You know, none of the rest of us can actually take advantage of. But man, in Alabama, if you're living, you know, and you don't need a womb, then life's pretty good right now, I guess.
Yeah, pretty good. So, yeah. So what we did in my legislation is a duplicate of legislation that Elena Parent filed in the Senate in terms of the IVF, but basically saying that if an embryo is outside of a person, outside of the womb, it is not
the womb.
A baby. It's not a person, the womb. It is not a person, and it can't be treated as a person because, like, when we passed the House Bill 481, the Heartbeat Bill, the Life Act, whatever you want to call it, when that passed several years ago, that designated that your unborn fetus, you know, there is a place on the Georgia Department of Revenue, like if you're filing your taxes, you can get your tax deduction for the unborn child. You can have your baby with you in the HOV lane when you're driving along, otherwise alone in your car. And if you have embryos considered people, like basically the IVF clinics where they're storing all these embryos are going to be their own house districts. I mean, it's...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you're thinking about it that way, if you're going to be that literal, and we know that they have been that literal, that, yeah, you've got a population of tens of thousands of people in your IVF clinic.
This is, I mean, this is going to be a little bit crass, but what about the sperm, if that is released prematurely or solo, and, you know, how do we distinguish the difference? Because aren't the swimmers people too?
Well, only when they meet their egg. What was it? Monty Python, every sperm is sacred. Is that what that's from?
Well, I hope not.
I don't know. But yeah, if you're going to go down the route of every sperm is sacred, which might be the title of this episode, I think we're just talking about when the sperm has actually met the egg, when the magic has happened.
Right, but those frozen eggs are not, they haven't
been... The magic, not science, right? Not reproduction, not, you know, how the body works, anything we know. And I need to correct myself, and I know I'm being a little bit snarky, but I'm just kind of feeling that this Friday. It wasn't preborn or pre-womb or whatever. It was much more precise. It was extra uterine children. That is actually in an about Alabama Supreme Court case upholding, going after, the folks that purportedly destroyed these embryos. Uterine children.
I'm having to think about this because wouldn't our extra uterine children also be our children who are currently like in high school and college and like,
oh, interesting.
It's so nutty. So what is your colleagues at the State House made of your announcement?
So what's interesting is the feedback that I have gotten, the very positive feedback, not just from colleagues, but from just the denizens of the Capitol, right? Like the workaday folks down at the Capitol, the people who, whether it's a staffer or a lobbyist, just a lot of people have come to me privately and said, thank you for doing that bill. Thank you for doing what you did. Thank you for laying, and I'm sure Elena has gotten the same feedback, right? And thank you for recognizing that this is a way that we're building families. This is the only way some of us are able to build our families. And it's really important that we be able to do that. And it is, you know, when you've lost Mike Pence on an issue, you've kind of lost the plot. And I think that is, as Democrats, we need to understand politically, you know, not just in terms of healthcare, not just in terms of how we know people need to grow their families, but just in terms of politically, they've given us a gift, right? Because IVF is something that there is no one who doesn't know someone who hasn't grown their family with IVF, if they haven't themselves had their family with IVF. And what happened in Alabama was absolutely terrifying. You know, everyone I think who's been through IVF was thinking about those poor women who had to have their cycles interrupted, which is a very brutally physically taxing thing to do. Everyone who is looking at their baby is thinking, I would not have this child if it weren't for IVF. It's something, it's such a pervasive issue that I think that, again, kind of like when Roe was overturned, a lot of people never thought that was going to happen. And a lot of people, even though there are those of us who have said from the time since before Roe was overturned, look, they're going to go after contraception. They're going to go after IVF. This is all part of what they're trying to do. When that happened in Alabama, that was a big wake-up call to the folks who I think doubted that anyone was actually going to try to go after IVF. And also contraception, because contraception, we know, because Clarence Thomas said in his opinion, in the Dobbs opinion, that he thought there was good reason to take another look at Griswold versus Connecticut, which is the decision in the Supreme Court that guarantees our right to contraception.
Right, which is also based on the right to privacy. I think from a political place, as you were saying, Terry, I mean, this really is an opportunity because, you know, there is a segment of women that tend to kind of ebb and flow, right? They tend not to be necessarily loyal to the Republicans or loyal to the Democrats, but what they do care about are the issues that impact them. We've seen that in terms of things around gun safety and those issues, right? The Moms Demand Action kind of crowd around choice, but certainly around IVF, right?
Right.
Because with respect to that, you can be someone who may view themselves as pro-life and you would never have an abortion. And politically, you know, that's where you stand. And then all of a sudden, you know, this procedure or whatever is going to be impacted and people can't grow their families and stuff, which is exactly counter to the whole idea of people being able to have children, right? And to bring life into this world and to bring children into this world that are wanted. Not only was your bill necessary, but I think in terms of actually talking to people about these are the real life consequences of these public policy decisions that are being made by people who really do not reflect the electorate in this state. And if we don't wake up, this is only going to continue. And it's like, when do we say enough? Like, I mean, at this point, it's like, I don't even know where the red line is being drawn because it's like all of our rights are being taken. I mean, all the stuff that's happened over this session that's just been bonkers. It's like, you know, when are people going to say, you know what? We can't stand for this anymore.
I don't know. I'm very concerned with this one. I do think the only, like you say, a gift to the Democrats because it's something to be talking about. But it just strikes me as this is the IVF really affects rich women. You know, and suddenly when the wealthy women are being affected by this because it's very expensive to have IVF and it's, you know, truly taxing on you and it's affecting them. Suddenly.
Well, it is. And I think IVF is broader than just rich women. There are a lot of insurance plans, especially at these companies that are trying to attract and retain these younger workers. They are very aggressive with their coverage of IVF services.
Well, and not only that, look, Mary, you're right with respect to that. But and this isn't the only piece in terms of politically, but in terms of Democrats being able to win elections, especially in this state, right, where, I mean, things are so tight. It's one of those things where this is one issue that helps bring in a group of voters who may not necessarily vote Democratic.
Yep, I agree with that for sure.
And it is about issues that impact people. That's why normally in terms of the things that Democrats talk about, you know, you have these various disparate groups that kind of come under, you know, our tent, if you will. And normally wealthy women and particularly wealthy white women, right? They tend not to the issues that we tend to care about in terms of social safety nets or, you know, taking care of people who are trying to pull themselves out of poverty, all of those things, public schools, maybe they're not affected by that. Their kid goes to the private school. Maybe they didn't grow up poor or have never, they've never been hungry in their life, whatever it is. But that's why when it starts to bleed into the Republican craziness really starts to bleed into such a mainstream issue as IVF, and IVF that actually impacts their people more than our purported base of voters, right? Then you got to kind of look up and say, you know, we've been telling y'all.
We've been trying to tell you.
The IVF, the contraception, and the hormone therapy. Because hormone therapy is not just used for transgender, gender-affirming care. It's used for health care.
It's, well, in hormone therapy in terms of menopausal women, hello. You know, I mean, we've got all kinds of things we can call this episode. I mean,
Well, I wanted to bring up, this was brought to my attention from Jen. If you, dear listener, could only see the text thread between the three of us, that is just a delight. But Jen put out a tweet that said, "What in the actual fresh hell is this? The fact that this dribble charades as public policy in the year of our Lord 2024 is pathetic." This is referring to teaching girls about reproduction. Would you ladies like to elaborate on the year of our Lord 2024? Well, fresh hell.
I want to be clear. It's like one component actually went after trans children, right? And then the other component really was basically sex education, but we ain't going to talk about sex. Yes, I mean, what? And then, like, I think Senator Parent pushed back on the guy doing it, this Senator Clint Dixon out of Gwinnett County, by the way. All right, folks, are you listening? And basically, like, are you saying we're supposed to talk to children and not even children, but going through puberty, right? You're talking about what your body is doing. You know, kids of an age who things are happening that they have no idea what's happening. And she's like, you're able to talk about this without any kind of reference to reproduction at all, or like science, as I was saying. And he's like, oh, yeah. You know, my wife, the leader, she's been such a leader. And we talked to our daughter about this without actually referring to what? Like, what the hell? I was trying to think. I was like, what are the actual ways that you could talk about this, right, without talking about science and the body, all right? Your monthly visitor, right? The little postman with the little red package. Like, is that what he's talking about? I mean, is the person, are we really going to talk about the stork? Like, is that going to be the centerpiece of sex or no sex education in this state? Like, I'm sorry, but I am flipping floored that this guy let these words come out of his mouth.
It doesn't make any sense. And honestly, there's a high chance he's full of malarkey. There's a high chance. I mean,
these are
a lot. Well, I couldn't say the other
Such
word. This
a
is
kind
a family
word.
Podcast. But there are a lot of people who I realize do not talk to their children about things that we talk a lot about in the legislature, whether it is menstruation, whether it's pornography, whether it's like all the things that there are so many developmentally appropriate ways to talk about with your kids. I actually think a lot of them aren't talking about them with their kids.
Of course not. I actually kind of repressed.
No.
And
yeah,
they don't even get what's going on with their own daughters in their own home.
No, I actually don't believe, because I cannot think of any way you could possibly have a conversation about menstruation with your daughter without saying what the whole point is. I think he kind of made that up on the fly, to be perfectly honest. I'm going to call him on it. I don't think that conversation actually happened, because it couldn't happen. What do you say to your daughter? Well, so your uterine lining is going to prepare itself, everyone. Prepare itself for what? Oh, don't worry about that. So your uterine lining is going to get all ready for something that's not going to happen.
Right.
Oh,
what's your uterus? Womb.
It's your womb. Yeah. No, what?
Daddy is womb and organ. Well, no, not really, sweetheart.
Right. I mean, it doesn't. Well, what they like? What do you say? Well, like, again, I'm speechless, because how do you talk about menstruation without talking about the fact that, yes, your uterus is getting itself ready for the egg to implant in the lining? The egg's going to be fertilized with the sperm. What's the sperm? Well, every sperm is sacred. How do you? You can't have the conversation.
Are you talking about it like? I mean, because we know some, I mean, I grew up with people who talked about it this way, which is, this is really your penance as a woman. This is your punishment for the original sin of Eve, right?
Wow.
Oh, that's not what I heard.
Children.
That's not what I heard.
Nothing to do with children. You know, it hurts. It's awful. It's the worst. And only girls have to go through it. And you know why? It's because Eve, you know, she made a deal with that snake, and she convinced Adam to do this. I mean, what is he doing? Taking his wife and his daughters and putting them in a red tent in the backyard every month? Like, what in, again? Yeah.
Making
Sorry.
A deal with the snake is not super phallic at all either. Like, that's not deeply phallic. Yeah, no, not at all. No,
How hard is it? Because I actually remember when my mom told me about, but this was before I even got my period. This was where babies come from. And I was about 7 years old. And it was like when mommy and daddy love each other and this is what they do and this is how the organs work. And then she gave me a book called Where Do I Come From? That, of course, would probably be banned right now because it was pictures or animated pictures of a man and a woman, not attractive.
Animated?
But yeah, like...
You mean cartoons?
Cartoons, yes.
Illustrations, yeah.
They weren't, it was like porn, right? They were cartoons.
It was one of those books where you move the tab in the side.
And right, goes, I was like, what?
Okay, no, it wasn't that. I got that wrong. Okay, but like, it wasn't like... This wasn't like sexy or like provocative. This was... The book is super clinical, but I have to get back to this quote about this. Senator Parent, you know, is basically questioning Clint Dixon and says, how about you talk about menstruation without talking about human reproduction, which is forbidden before sixth grade. And he responds by saying, I am not a woman, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express once. What does that mean?
I'm not sure. Maybe there is some kind of analogy that we are unaware of that if you, I have no idea.
Okay,
I can't even be funny about that because it's so inane.
And then it goes on to say, but I would say to the reproductive organ part of it or whatnot, I don't think that would align with sex education. How much you want to bet that this guy, and then
the
he goes
organ.
On, and that he goes on to say, I've got two daughters. One is currently going through puberty, and my wife and I have been able to successfully, with her guidance and her leadership, my wife's leadership, have had those conversations with her without talking about reproduction. Okay, so I just want to say two things. One, these kids aren't being properly educated. You know when they're going to learn about sex? TikTok, okay? They're going to learn about, and it's going to screw them up. Number two, how much you want to bet this guy is into hardcore porn?
Okay. I don't think we can say that kind of stuff, Mara. Like, hypothetically, maybe you have known people who
do you
tend
have a legal
repressed.
Note? And the legal note is, I said people like that who push back so hard, typically, let's see your web search.
Well, again, I just want to put it out for the readers that Mara did not mean to say that a particular person was into hardcore porn. She said, hypothetically, or in her experience in the past, people that have expressed such repressed and inane and non-scientific views tend to be people who might enjoy the dark web. But that was all she was saying. She did not mean to impugn anybody's reputation specifically. I just want to put that out there.
I do not mean that. But at the same time, when you're pushing back and you're fighting against something.
I will say when we're talking about how we, you know, legislative policy that has to do with sex education, specifically in public schools, one of the things we have to consider is, okay, why do we have sex education in the first place? And I think if we're really going to drill down into it, the reason we have sex education is so, one, kids don't get pregnant, and two, they don't get STDs. It would not surprise me. Like, you know how the origins of the school lunch program go back to knowing that when people were going to be turning 18 and joining the army, they needed to be nourished, right? So we're like, we'll feed them in the schools. It wouldn't surprise, like sex education, especially with regards to STD, that probably goes back to the military also, right? Because there's always an issue in the military. You think of all the World War II posters about STDs. Like, you want people, you want your workforce, you want your military, you want them to not have the clap, right? You want them to not be getting women pregnant all over the place. And
well, right, like, so also what, HIV. Yeah. I mean,
right, which is on the rise in Georgia, and it's like really on the HIV is really on the rise in Georgia with young kids, with teenagers.
We are a hot spot in this country, and people have no clue. Everybody's kind of just put HIV to the side, thinking, "Oh, well, we don't know anybody who gets it anymore." But I know that at the three of us, I mean, we came along, or at least I did, when, you know, HIV was discovered, was at its peak. Mm-hmm. That's that's when a lot of this super aggressive sex education started to come about.
And totally.
In part,
yes.
Because I know in Georgia, I mean, it was a, like, I remember there was this doctor in Macon, Georgia, who was like internationally renowned for his work in terms of HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. And his big thing was, we have got to educate, because folks thought that it was a disease that only happened to homosexuals, right?
Right.
And it is not, right? Like, we know that, and we know how it's passed on. And so that is part of sex education. It really is about health, keeping yourself healthy, because that's just it. It's not just HIV. It's HPV. It's syphilis. It's all of the things that folks can get. Herpes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's the things that affect your health for the rest of your life.
Right.
And one time, it takes one time, one experience where you don't know you should ask or tell someone to use a condom, or you don't protect yourself. It's not just about having babies. It's about, like, protecting your body and your health and your life. And we have people down there that are like, well, we don't need to talk about this, right?
Well, this is because they're not talking about organs. These are the guys who are saying this, who are like, will not buy feminine hygiene products for their daughters or their wives. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, you know, that kind of thing. It's, look, remember Jane Fonda's GCAP Foundation?
Oh, yeah. They're still around.
Still have it. Yeah.
And that's really about education and preventing teen pregnancy. I mean, we all remember. Do you guys remember the documentary? I was just in Conyers a few days ago, and all I could remember were the kids of Rockdale County.
I was about to say, to this day, the first thing that comes to my mind when anyone mentions Rockdale County for any reason is teenagers with syphilis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is the first thing I think.
Yeah.
The syphilis outbreak in Rockdale County.
Yes.
The AIDS crisis, which is still going on here in this state. And we seem to just not, we just say, there's nothing to see here, right?
Yes. AIDS, like, syphilis.
Give me a break.
HIV is really a big rising problem. We have had conversations, conversations with the policymaker, like, how do we do this? Talking with public health people, like, how can we do this? How can we talk about this policy? And this is the problem, too. Like, we've had legislation that was going to help with more funding for HIV education, for PrEP, which is the prophylactic preventative medication, all these things. But it gets caught up in these culture wars, typically, usually in the Senate, where they just we can't do this. We can't talk about this. We can't do this.
Which is funny, because it's not like they're against sex. Whether outside of marriage, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things where all of a sudden we become incredibly pious, right?
Well, they're all supporting.
When we're talking about these social issues.
They're all supporting someone who paid off a porn star or an adult film star's hush money while the wife was home pregnant or nursing a baby. I mean, so suddenly, like, the morals just go out the window. We have selective. I mean, it is just crazy. And this, I want to pivot off this. I think it's a perfect time to talk about the passing of school vouchers, because kids getting education.
Oh, God.
So are kids now going to be losing out on, like, sex education? I mean, there's nothing. I remember.
They're losing out on all education. I mean, the problem is that particularly they're not funding the public schools at the level that they need to be funding the public schools. So people say, oh, there's an issue with public schools. They're not great. Well, you're not funding them appropriately. You're not providing the leadership that you need to be providing, all of the things. So instead of trying to fix the problem, what they do is they're just going to suck the money out of it, right? And send it to the private schools. And then folks are like, oh, but then people who really, you know, they're in the failing school district, so we want them because it's their child. Okay, that sounds great from a narrative standpoint. The problem is that there aren't any private schools that these folks can go to. Most of the private schools are actually part of the Metro Atlanta area. And when you're talking about a $6,000 or even a $10,000 voucher to go to these schools, the schools cost $30,000 a year. Right. If you're somebody making minimum wage, or you're making 30, 40, 50,000 a year, and you're providing for your family and you're barely making it, do you have an extra 20K per year to add on to make sure that your kid can go to the private school? This is just a public money grab. And all it is about going to the folks that already have money and saying, look what I did for you. The people that are already going to spend that money sending their kids to the private school, and they're like, well, hey, why not? Why wouldn't I take it? I mean, it's free money, right?
Right. Yeah, there's a reason why when it failed last year, it was rural Republicans who are the reason why it failed, because they know. I mean, then there's a map. Michelle Alst shared this map after the vote happened last week on Twitter, which, you know, you look at the map and all the black dots are private schools, all the purple triangles are the bottom 25% schools. There are counties, swaths of, you know, square miles in Georgia where there is certainly no private school. Yeah. And Jen's right. If you can get one of these vouchers, you're not sending your kid to Westminster. Number one, you have to come up with another $25,000. Number two, your kid still has to take the SSAT. Number three, if they have any, they have to do the psychological testing. That
and if they have any issues, they have any issues. And by issues, I mean
behavioral
dyslexia, maybe a processing, ADHD, any of the things that we know kids have just kind of on a regular basis, they're not going to get into these company private schools.
No. And this is the other thing. So one of the things I've thought about, and it reminded me of, is SEG academies, right? So all over the South, we know what SEG academies are, right? There are these little schools that popped up after integration where parents could send their kids and they wouldn't have to go to school with any black people. They could keep all their precious white children safe together. After integration, so in Mississippi, before integration, there were like 20 private schools. I'm going to guess they were probably mostly Catholic schools, probably down towards the coast, maybe a military school here and there. After integration, Mississippi had almost 300 private schools because these academies popped up. What has happened in other states is you have these kind of they're basically voucher academies. They might be a little Christian school. They might be at a church, and tuition might be $6,000. It's so weird how that works. And part of the problem with this voucher bill as we pass it is now any of these private schools, there's no accountability for the kids on these vouchers. There's no way of knowing, right? If your child is a voucher and they're attending, you know, Calvary Christian College of the Holy Blood, whatever, in, you know, whatever school, and
I think it's the holiest blood, but keep going.
Actually, the Calvary Baptists wouldn't be talking about holy blood. That's not a thing. Those are two things that are never going to happen. But you've got these schools, and there's no way of knowing if these kids are benefiting at all, right? They're certainly not going to get any kind of sex education. They're not going to know that when they're having their visit, the Lord will teach them, Terry. Yes. Well, is that an OnlyFans account? We're going to have a problem where not only are these kids with these vouchers, there's no guarantee they're going to get any kind of a decent education, certainly nothing better than what they're getting. The second problem is that, it's taking money away from our public schools. The third thing is that when this legislation was being talked about by its proponents, they keep talking about this is only for the poorest of the poor. This is going to help people in poverty. And that is a load of garbage. And I will tell you why, because when you look in the bill, last year the bill was only if you are currently attending a bottom 25% school. Now the language says if all the kids who want the voucher from the bottom 25% schools, once they get their vouchers, any money left over can go to anybody who wants it. And that's why this is a handout to rich people. That is how this is going to be a handout to rich people, because there's a reason so many Republican lawmakers from Gwinnett County and Forsyth County and all of these pretty wealthy counties, North Fulton County, why they were pushing this so hard, is because this is something that they're going to be able to use to benefit themselves and their communities where there certainly aren't any bottom 25% schools. And that's a whole thing too, right? There's a bottom 25% of everything. There's a bottom 25% of the graduating class of Harvard, right? Like, how are you looking at, why not instead say, let's take these bottom 25% schools, figure out what's not working there. What are the resources that they need?
Maybe why don't we take that money?
Right. Take that money and do something so that, there's always going to be a bottom 25%, but let's level up that bottom 25% so these kids are actually getting a chance to achieve. And also the kids who are left behind in these schools after you have the few kids who are able to get the vouchers. I mean, it's not No Child Left Behind. It's a lot of kids left behind.
Yeah, it's all just so bizarre, especially with all the priorities in this country of all the different things that there are issues with, whether it comes to immigration or gun safety or education or the garden variety of things that should be truly important to people. This just seems like a load of, malarkey. I can understand why. It's just reading some of these headlines coming out from the Georgia State House this session is just like, ugh. The only thing that I saw that did give me a little pleasure, a little bit of pleasure along the lines of your busy bee fried chicken, was the lemon pepper wing. Is that the official wing of the of food of the state? What did that, how was that being honored?
Also, and that pisses me off too, right? Okay. Like, who gets to decide that, right? And not only that, but what kind of state has a chicken wing, official chicken wing? Like, it's like, we are an important big state. We are a state that we are a great state. And we minimize ourselves when we do stuff like that. I mean, we pick the possum. There's all kinds of crazy shit we've done. And I'm like,
the cornbread, the cornbread.
Oh, corn. I mean, come on.
Well, I was mad about that one because the cornbread was the official bread. And I don't think that's an actual bread. I think it's a cake.
See, and I think you're wrong. But
well, it depends on if you put sugar in it or not.
Right. And flour. I do not. I don't put flour in mine. Mine is cornmeal and buttermilk and baking soda and salt.
But no one's like, I'm going to make a sandwich. Somebody go get the cornbread.
Okay, so that's what you get mad at, but you're going with the lemon pepper wings?
I love a lemon pepper wing. Okay, let's go on to something a little bit more important that's really burning inside me, and that is from our text thread just this morning. The story that I obsess over is Tim Scott's alleged fiance, and apparently okay, so she's an interior designer. She is from Charleston, South Carolina. I did a deep dive on her social media, which there's barely any. It's like, this is an invented woman. And they met in Bible study, and it's prayerful, their wedding. What is going on with this? Is this real? I mean, I can't with this. What's happening? Anyone?
So I'm not as obsessed about this as you and Terry are. So I'm just going to punt. I think I've already been very outspoken about just about everything today.
What I think is, I think there's a lot that's funny about it. I hope you heard it from me, Mara, but you probably didn't. You probably already
heard
it from a bunch of people.
Her name's Mindy Nose, by the way, if you want to look her up. N-O-C-E.
She's on Instagram.
Yeah, but like, she's on Instagram. The account only started in 2023. There's no Facebook about her. I've gone on the website. Like, I'm creepy enough where I want to call the, because she's a real estate agent where she stages people's houses. So I want to hire her.
Obviously, we're going to find the wedding registry. I mean, that goes without saying.
Oh, I'm so into this. Jen's already she's out. She's reading the legal brief.
No, like we're going to find the registry and we're going to talk about her silver pattern because I know she's not going hard for Grand Baroque like you are, Mara. So yes. we already know that. No, but it's just something. It's like, well, we're going to get married. Something like normal people don't plan their wedding dates around political dates.
Yeah.
It'll be sometime after the convention and before November. That's deeply weird.
It's weird.
Does he think that maybe if he has a wife that he'll have a better chance of being a VP pick, I wonder?
It's so weird because he's what, like the 40-year-old virgin, right? I mean, like we've never, allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. He may have lust in his heart.
He has, listen, I think lust in your heart is a whole lot less creepy than all the stuff that he's pulled. I mean, lust in your heart, like who doesn't have lust in your heart? Like I have lust in my heart. We all do. Bradley Cooper comes on TV. I have lust in my heart. You know, come on.
No, I have lust in my heart for Colin Firth. But what's so funny about lust in my heart is like that was the whole thing that people used to try to take down Jimmy Carter because he was like, well, I have lust in my heart for this woman.
Right.
Like, how could you do that? It's like, what normal person doesn't? These people, again, these are the same type of folks who actually say with a straight face that they can talk to their daughter about menstruation
right.
without talking about reproduction, which you cannot do. I'm sorry. It's just not a thing. And I don't believe that he's been a part of any conversation like that.
So the quote is, a guy who is mostly an introvert and on the quiet side, having to have a conversation about the engagement is like, you know, uncomfortable in a way, but it is the most exciting thing I'll do with my life besides making Jesus my Lord, Scott told the Washington Post. I've been patient and prayerful, and I'm really excited and somewhat nervous, and I couldn't be more thankful having a soulmate and someone with the same interests, passions, and goals. They met in Bible study and church bonding. I mean, I'm so into
maybe
this.
Maybe if he had, maybe if he'd had comprehensive sex ed, he'd be less nervous about the wedding night.
Okay.
Well, maybe that's what you could send them, Mara.
A Bible?
Send them like
the book.
Or the book
your mom gave you.
The good book. Yeah.
Where did I come from?
So you guys don't know about that book?
I know about similar. I think It's So Amazing, I think, is the book that I had for my kids, which I think is on a lot of banned lists. And it's, again, like the least sexy book about sexy time you could possibly read.
Well, this book my mom gave me is like super free to be you and me era. So
that would totally be banned. I mean, we are in the era of nobody is free to be yes. you and me. Like, that's the opposite. We're the opposite of that right now.
Yeah, totally.
We're in the upside down world. But the funniest story is my sister was telling me that there was some kind of, there was a class she took in college. I'm not even going to name the name of the college because people are going to go nuts. But it was basically kind of sociology of sex or something, right? And so she goes in and the professor is actually showing these, it's almost like how-to videos, which you would think that's just porn, right? But it was like old people.
Oh my God.
So she said everybody was just like, what are we watching? Like so disturbed. And the whole thing was the professor was like, look, this is like older people have sex all through life and this is normal. And, you know, this is just kind of... But we were just talking about, well, if you were going to teach about sex and everything, the least sexy thing that you can possibly show are like 80-year-olds, you know, getting it on.
Well, so. It's like when people talk about a nudist colony, it's usually older people and there are things, you know, sagging or they're just going down in general. Yes, it's the fixation with so much of this. It truly is bizarre on so many levels. I'm sorry. I'm still going to follow Tim Scott's wedding. Terry and I are so in.
We're gonna follow it. We're gonna find the registry and we will judge their patterns.
Okay.
I think
or praise them. Who knows? They might be very tasteful.
Okay. Before we get to what we're raving about, we've also on our text thread, we've been talking about Princess Kate, and it was just like right before we got on here today. She's been diagnosed with cancer, and it's just like, so we wish her the best. It's just like totally like I'm actually quite shocked about this. We got so wrapped up in that. The craziest thing is and now we're learning it's like what is like because everybody was saying it was just a bad PR fail, how they handled the media strategy pretty bad. But are we taking that back now or we haven't had enough time to process?
I think it's still a terrible PR strategy. I think it is a tragedy for this poor woman who is dealing with cancer and has been dealing with cancer on top of everything else. But I think that a lot of the stress from the outside things could have been assuaged had the firm, the palace handled this in a more reasonable way and in a way that they knew they would fare better with the modern press, right? This isn't like King George having lung cancer surgery at Buckingham Palace right after World War II, right? This isn't like that anymore. There are cameras everywhere. Everyone's wondering about this and you can't just go dark and like people will fill in the blanks and that's what's happening. And so they lost all control of the narrative. And so no, it's a tragedy, but I think this was absolutely a messaging failure.
What do you think, Jen?
Yes and no. I mean, look, I think everything we do is based on things that have happened before. I think this came so out of left field. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it may have been coming from her too, like, because they're not going to do anything or say anything until she blesses it or says they can. And processing that kind of diagnosis, especially when you have three small children and you are her age, you know, look, that's a tough thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think we just really need to give everybody a little bit of grace here. I mean, I think it was more fun thinking about it before we heard the news, because, you know, you could come up with all this kind of funny stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, we need to remember that royals are people. I mean, I know that they live a very different life than us, but they're mortal. And I think the fact that you see the King Charles and Princess Kate, both have cancer and getting treated for cancer at the same time, I think that may make the royal family more relevant than they've ever than they've been in at least the last 100 years.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a really good point. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, we wish her the best, and it's, you know, it's just sucky in every way. Okay, what are we raving about this week?
Ooh.
Jay, anything? Needs to start.
Oh, I can't believe it. I'm always the Grinch, right? What am I raving about? You know, I've been drinking more water and trying to get more sleep. And actually, I don't look like a train wreck as much as I used to.
Yeah, you look good. You look good.
You look great.
I'm looking a little bit better. You know, I was looking my age there for a while, and I did not like that. So I am raving about drinking water, and there's actually a thing you can get called, I think it's called Spark Hydrate, and it's like a water bottle, but it's connected to an app too. And when you're not drinking enough water, it flashes a light when you're supposed to drink. Yeah, it's super cool.
I need to get that.
And it'll keep track of how much water you're drinking on your app. And so you can look at it kind of like over a long-term kind of thing. So I think it's just simple things we can do in our lives to, you know, be healthier and feel better, especially when we are super stressed out, like Terry might be right now.
Yes, Terry, yes. What are you raving about?
I actually have been really focusing on water and sleep also, because I've been tracking my water intake for a couple of years with an app on my Apple Watch, because I do notice that the more water I drink, the better I feel, the better my skin looks, and same for when I sleep. And those things are, you know, I've got enough to stress about. I don't want to stress about my skin or my eye bags. That's very good advice, actually. It's a very good thing. And exercising, I exercised this morning for the first time in a while. But this will be what I was afraid about. I went to New York. I escaped with some girlfriends the morning after crossover day. So several weeks ago, and I went to New York and we saw two shows. We saw Merrily We Roll Along with Daniel Radcliffe and Jonathan Groff, and it was delightful. And then we saw Hadestown with Ani DiFranco, which was also delightful. It was funny. There were a couple of Disney Plus stars in the cast also, but we didn't know really who they were because we were middle-aged ladies there to see Ani DiFranco, and it was excellent. But while I was there, I also went to two in-studio Peloton classes.
Oh, that's fun.
With a bunch of other middle-aged ladies. And it was really delightful. It was a lovely experience. Highly recommend.
By the way, how Agnes Scott of you to go to an Ani DiFranco concert. Right?
Oh, no. Exactly.
We're like, it's like, if there's anything been more on brand, it's that. I will rave about a show I watched on Amazon Prime called Expats.
Oh, yeah.
It really got into my soul because it presented so many questions, and especially about motherhood and the what would you do and bad decisions. I'm not saying this is a joyful show, but it did really stick with me, and I really, really liked it. Oh, and I'm also raving about my son, Charlie Kane, who is going to Indiana University. So I should have said that first. That's some
go Hoosiers.
He is a Hoosier. Who's your mama? That's me.
That's
love
awesome.
It. Awesome. Please get that t-shirt, Mara.
And also perfect in the middle of March Madness.
Yes,
right?
Yes. So I'm sure I'm not the first one to think about that. But nevertheless, ladies, so, you know, we can say it now. Like, it's just, we've all been so busy. That's the reason why, you know, Jen's been lawyering. Terry's been legislating. I've been chasing after people. I've been chasing after talent.
You've been working hard.
Very cool people too.
Cool people. Oh my gosh. And yeah, I've got a big one. So I guess I can announce it here. I mean, it's so I'm booking the talent for Cam Newton's show.
Very cool.
Which is interesting. So I'm going to be with Ludacris next week, you know, and I'm going to be with DaBaby.
DaBaby. I've heard that DaBaby's wrap chips are the best flavor of wrap chips. So I'm told.
Also, DaBaby is not Lil Baby.
Lil Baby, right?
No, different.
Yeah, Lil Baby's not DaBaby. Just got to make that clear, right?
Yes. Yes. All right. So we will hopefully be back next week. And if not, we're not back next week. Know that we are not giving up, because I will not give up on the ladies, because this, I think this is episode 95.
We got to get to 100.
Every sperm is sacred.
Aunt Flo wants her hormone replacement therapy. So many things. So many things.
All right. This has been a beautiful thing. We will talk to you guys next time.